You know, I know it's just a tough time of the year right now. We have some, you know, God knows what's best. We have some big days coming up in just a few weeks. Easter's just a matter of a few weeks away. And it's a time that we normally want everybody in the community to come, and we want so many people to come. And right now it's just a tough time looking like. So we just pray again that God would bless and that He would bring an end to some things and some fears and reservations that people may have before such a time. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll finish this up. I'll be brief today and allow you to get out of here today. And I hope you have a blessed rest of the day. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We've been in this passage for about 3 weeks. I want you to stand with us and read this one more time today. Verse 14. And through the end of the chapter, again, verse 21, Paul's writing to that church there at Corinth, and of course, it's a struggling group of people. But he says in verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone, any man, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Father, again, thank You for the day. Thank You for the Word of God. We pray that You'd speak to us now through that. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. We said about 3 weeks ago now that the title that we had been looking at is this phrase that henceforth unto Him. Therefore, from now on, we shouldn't live this way, but we should live this way. We shouldn't live like it's just for ourselves. We should live unto Him. Henceforth unto Him. We said 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago now, we said that if that's true, then there's this idea that Paul introduces to this Corinth church. He said, for you and I, there must come a time and place in our life that there's been a termination of that self-life. There's that idea that this old self-life has been extinguished. We've relinquished control over to somebody else, being Jesus Himself. And then we said that if that's true, that then there has to be something more than that. And he introduced us to this idea of this faith life concept. That it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we've been introduced to this idea that there's this old life that had to be put out, and we were introduced to this new way of life, this faith life. And as he closes his thoughts here, and I think it's the most important part for us, and I think it's very fitting for where we are today, because we talked about we want the church and we want us to respond in a way that people will see that they need to number their days, and that life is fleeting, and that the answer is Jesus. And so I think today, as Paul introduces to the church at Corinth this idea of the operation of the Christ life, the operation that you and I have a mission to accomplish while we're here with whatever time we got, and there's an operation for that. There's a plan for that. There's a call to that. And so he makes it very clear. And I think for you and I, when we've experienced the termination of that self-life and there's become this introduction of the faith life, Christ becomes central to everything that we do at that point, right? Or it should. And so the phrase that Paul uses that sums all this up is, he says about you and I, he says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you and I, he's called you and I to be ministers of reconciliation. So I think that pastor that put on their church sign this week that their sermon title was going to be Contagious Christian today, I don't think that's making light of what's happening, but I think it's very fitting. You and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, pastor, deacon, or anything else. It doesn't matter. If you name the name of Jesus, if you say you're born again, you say that you're going to heaven, then God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you the opportunity to be his minister, to teach and to speak and to share with people in this world that there is a better way. Amen? That's exactly what he's saying there. He says that you and I have this ministry of reconciliation, and the purpose that the Lord Jesus came into the world from the cradle to the cross and from the cross to the crown was that this idea of reconciling men, women, boys and girls to himself. Nothing else. That's the reason he came. He didn't come to establish his kingdom. That's a coming event. Amen? That's a day in the future. He's coming back one day on that white horse with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're coming and we're going to establish his kingdom in all power and authority. But that's a future event. He didn't come to establish a set of rules or regulations. He came so that you and I that were separated from God because of our sin would be reconciled to the Father. Amen? That's his purpose. That's why he came. And he said, I also share and give you that same ministry of reconciliation. And so I want to jump right in there and talk about that. Verse 19 says that there is a world to reach. Look at verse 19 again. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world. And that word world is not a universalism, not a universal idea that everybody in the world is going to get to go to heaven, because everybody in the world is not going to go to heaven. The Bible says that there's two ways. Straight is the way, narrow is the path. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to death. And it says many are on that road, few are on the other. So we understand that not everybody's going to heaven, but the word world translated there in the Greek language literally just means mankind or humanity. That God was in this world reconciling humanity to himself, calling us out of the darkness to himself, drawing us by the Spirit of God so that we would be reconciled to the Father. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? He came to save, and he came to save you and I from our sin and from ourselves. And so there's a world to reach. And again, I think there's a paradox in the idea of atonement, that you and I are separated from God in our sin and our wretchedness and our blindness and our ignorance and all of those things. But Jesus came in the world to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How he loved us like that. Those are words of love and wonder and amazement when you think about what Jesus did for us through his death at Calvary. Simple faith in the finished work of Calvary is how we get to that place of being reconciled to the Father. We believe and trust that Jesus Christ did all of those things for us at Calvary. And when we put our faith and trust in him and him alone, the Bible says that, guess what? You're reconciled to God. You've been born again, saved from your sin, saved from yourself, forever sure in Jesus Christ. That man in Publix yesterday, when he said to me, he said, I said, the world's coming to an end. And he said, but some of us are going to die from that. And I said, yes. And some people are going to die today from disease and cancer. And some are going to die in automobile accidents. And some are going to die. And listen, the idea there again is real. That life is fleeting at best. And the answer for it is to be prepared. Amen. And the only way to be prepared is to be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. No other way. No other way. And God has given you and I that ministry of reconciliation to speak to our family and our friends and our acquaintances and help them. And if there's ever a day, if there's ever a day and a time, today's the day, because the world's running in fear, wondering. You know, I heard a news authority say this about the virus. Here's what he said this past week. I was watching the news Friday. I wished I hadn't. I wish I'd have just not watched any of that. I mean, not that but some of it just gets, it's like, my goodness gracious, let's see if we can. I think some people are going to die of a heart attack, probably from this, from being worked into such a frenzy, maybe. But he said this about the virus, about this cold. He said, it's the coronavirus, the COVID-19. They like to call it that now. The COVID-19, it's seeking a host every day who it can attack. And I'm like, okay, so you're trying to humanize a virus. that has a plan and a will and a design to attack humanity and destroy them. You see the fear-mongering and all of that? Like it's sprouted legs and wings and all of this stuff, and it's seeking out the next human being to attack so it can destroy us all. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Simple faith in what Jesus did for us at Calvary is enough. When Jesus went to Calvary, and as the spotless Lamb of God, the Scripture says that He was made to become sin for us. Look at that. He says in verse 21, He was made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That literally when Jesus hung on the cross, you and I, our sin was extracted from us and imputed into His body. He didn't impute our sins to us, but imputed them into Jesus' body so that He would become sin, because the problem that we had of being reconciled to God was our sin. Amen? So He took that away and gave us an opportunity to be reconciled to God. Wow, that's an amazing story. The divine perspective of atonement. God did everything. There's nothing left for you and I to do. There's nothing left for you and I to add to it. There's nothing left for you and I to work toward. Nothing left for you and I to either earn or whatever the case may be to have His reconciliation. He's done all the work. He's done everything. He's broken down every wall. He's destroyed every enmity and hostility of sin that separated me from my God. He's done everything so that I could get to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. He accomplished everything. And all I have to do is respond in childlike faith and trust that He did that. Amen? How in the world can that be? How in the world can it be that easy? How in the world can it be that simple? Because God made it so. Amen? It's like my kids on my bus, I say, sit down or do something. And they say, why? And I say, because I said so. That's kind of how I was raised. Amen? When my daddy said, do something, if I asked why, he said, because I said so. And I better hope that's as far as it went for me. Amen? How can it be that God would come into this world and give us this ministry of reconciliation? How would it be that He would do that for us? He destroyed every enmity, every hostility of sin that separated me from my Father and gave me an opportunity to be reconciled to Him. And He accomplished all the work necessary. All He wants me to do is believe and respond to Him in faith. That's where the world is today. This is where we come into the picture in verse number 18. He says that He gave you and I that ministry of reconciliation. Our task is to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the death of His Son and what He did for us. And so how amazing it is that Jesus has done all of those things for us, and all He wants us to do is say that we too will pass on the knowledge that we have about Him and the means of His eternal life. You know, think about it like this. If you say that Jesus is the center of your life, that you live a Christ-centered life, how can we live Christ-centered lives when we're not being ministers of reconciliation? I say that if Jesus is the center of our life and we want Him to be the center of our life, that important to you and I too will be the ministry of reconciliation. Whether that's handing out food to get a chance to tell them about Jesus, whether it's having Bible school or a Wednesday night service or whatever it is, or speaking to someone in the grocery store, or at least trying to calm some fear right now about, hey, listen, eternity is real. This thing is real. One's going to last a whole lot longer than the other. Amen? So you need to make sure that you got the other right. All right? So the ministry of reconciliation. I read a story. It's an old story about a man named, they called him Noble Bruce. And it was during medieval times, and he died. He was a hero, they said. There was another man that was in that same group of people that were in these battle times, and his name was, he was called Black Douglas. And for Noble Bruce, when he died, because so many people revered him as a hero, Black Douglas came along and extracted that man's heart. and encased his heart in a little silver-like box. And so every time they went into battle, they would go into the battle with the heart of Noble Bruce. And he would remind the people that here's our hero. He's still among us, and he's here. And it says, the story goes, that before Black Douglas died, that he tossed his last thing that he did. He tossed that little silver box that had Noble Bruce's heart in it into the midst of one of the most fierce battles. And he said, hey, follow that heart and conquer. And I want to say to you this morning that follow the heart of our God. Amen. And let's bring some victory in the life of some people today that are afraid. Let's bring some victory in the life of some people that are not prepared. Amen. Let's tell them about Jesus. And he's their hope. And he's their answer. Wow. And there is a word to preach in verse number 19 and 20. We have the message. It's very distinct and it's very dynamic. Paul was so sure that the word of reconciliation that he stood before even the metropolis of Rome, and he affirmed that he said, this is what he believed. This is absolutely what he believed. He said, this is how I believe. This is what I believe. This is, and no one will convince him of that otherwise. Listen, you and I need to have the same faith and say to this world that a Savior died for you. Yet he lives and reigns to change men and society around the world. He lives so that I can live. He lives so that you can live. He lives today. And how do I know he lives today? Because he lives within my heart. Amen. He rose again. God always starts from the center. We talked about that when we studied a little bit about the tabernacle. He started at the very inside with the Ark of the Covenant, and he worked his way out. He still does the same thing today. He starts, if he wants to change society, he starts with man. And man affects another man. And men that affect other men, they start to change society and can change the world. So he starts from the center and he works toward the circumference. There was a man named Samuel Zimmer said this, the man that goes out to change society is an optimist, but the man who goes out to change society without changing the individual is a lunatic. It's optimistic that we want to change society, but the only hope to change society is that we change the heart of man. Amen? It's not another reform. It's not another socialistic or anything else kind of program. It's because men's hearts are changed that society has a chance to change. And you and I have the ministry or the word of reconciliation to change the heart of men and women, boys and girls around us. Amen? Wow. That's so amazing. And you and I, and the most important part of this is that we've been constituted as messengers. The scripture says that we're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is not someone that communicates his own opinions or speculations. An ambassador is someone that represents a higher authority. An ambassador is someone that represents the opinions and the authority of that higher authority to someone else. Listen, it's not about me or you getting every word correct and telling somebody about it. Listen, if God can use me, he can use you. And if he can use you, he can use you. And if he can use you, he can use anybody to tell somebody else about the love of Jesus Christ that changes their heart. Amen. It's not about me getting every word correct and not stammering and stammering through that. I've known some of the most powerful witnesses when I've been through several of those training things. But I watched this guy one time that goes in these people's homes and he's training individuals. And when he starts talking to somebody about the love of Jesus Christ, and he just melts before them. He just cries when he weeps, when he talks about how much Jesus loved them and how much what he did for them. And he's got tears that roll down his face, and he'll wipe tears and he'll tell them about how that God loves them like that. Listen, you say, well, that's manipulating somebody. No, that's just somebody that's just so emotional about what Jesus did in their life that they're telling somebody. It's not about your perfection or your ability to tell them every word true. It's about the Holy Spirit of God drawing them. But you and I must open our mouth because we have the word of reconciliation Can I believe God can draw somebody through creation? Yes. Can I believe that God can do whatever he wants? Yes, because he's God. But at the same time, he says plainly that he's given you and I the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. He's endorsed us as ambassadors to this world, representing a higher authority, a bigger kingdom. An ambassador speaks with the authority in the name of his government, if you would. This is not my home. My home is in another place. I'm here representing Jesus while I'm here, speaking the word of reconciliation. And so should you. Amen? Because that's what he says. We've put out the old life. It's terminated. It's extinguished. We've relinquished control over to Jesus. Now there's this faith life idea. The life that I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the operation is that you got to carry this thing out now. Because once you said yes and believed in your heart and trust Jesus as Lord, immediately you became an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So how are you representing him in this world? How do I do at that? How do you do at that? Well, there's probably days we don't do so good at that, right? And then hopefully there's days that we do better at that. But the goal is to accept that challenge and say, okay, yes, Lord, I realize. And in this day and today, where people are afraid and they're wondering, they need to know that there is an answer that gives some hope. Because I promise if you watch the news, you'll go stir crazy listening to that over and over and over again. You and I don't have anything for which to apologize either. I mean, yesterday I wasn't being smart with that gentleman in the store, but he stopped there to listen to my conversation with someone else. And when he turned around and looked at me and he said, "But some of us are going to die from this." I said, yes, some have died, very small percentage now, but some will die today before they get home. Some will die tomorrow of a disease. Some will die the next day of some just maybe natural causes. One thing's for sure, death is sure. Amen? But the answer to death is Jesus. I mean, I have the sentence of death upon me. This physical body has been sentenced to die. When Adam mostly failed in the garden and he didn't protect his wife, and Eve was beguiled of the serpent, and when that happened, the sentence of death was passed upon all of us. This physical body of mine and yours as well has been sentenced to death. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't find the fountain of youth. Are y'all some of those people that you click on all those bait things on social media, you know, that promises better health, better this, you know, better sleep? Aren't you so frustrated when you click on that? You got to click 74 more things and then you have to register before you can even read the article. Isn't that lovely? I just quit a long time ago. I don't click on none of that anymore because it's just bait. And they're looking for an address so they can bombard my email with all this junk. So I just don't do that anymore. Take care of yourself. Be healthy as you can. Eat healthy. Do all that you can. Do whatever your doctor says. Do all those things because that's wisdom, right? But you can't stop this death sentence that's on this body. But I have already beat death. Amen? I have beat it. I have already beaten the grave because of what Jesus said about me. Amen? And you and I have that ministry of reconciliation. Our message is from God himself. And so with apostolic boldness, we're to preach the word with confidence and courage, with some humility and love. But be reconciled unto God. Because there is no more hope than that. This is the operation of the Christ life. No one can know a Christ-centered life without this burden to reach the world, to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And may this be my and your motto, that henceforth unto Him, from now on unto Him, I'm going to live the way that He wants me to live, and I'm going to be the minister of reconciliation. I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus and try to represent Him well. Amen. Doesn't mean you'll do it every day. Doesn't mean there won't be days that you don't represent Him well. But it's a good motivation, isn't it, to say, I'm going to live for Him in this year, the remainder of this year. Believe it or not, it's already March, right? And soon will be April. Henceforth unto Him, the termination of the self-life, the introduction to the faith life, and the operation of the Christ life. Henceforth unto Him, from now on, I'm going to live for Jesus and be His ambassador because I have the ministry of reconciliation. Amen.